it might get crazy. Let me move this out of the way. Before I did, I knew I was going to do this song today. Keith asked me to sing, and it's one of those miracles and healing is nothing new to this church. So I didn't know when that Kathy was going to be here today, but Kathy, I'm going to do this one for you today because I believe that the healing power of Jesus is like no other. They carried him every day to that same temple gate where he would sit and beg, a hopeless man. Nobody ever thought he had a chance to walk. Oh, how they were wrong. God had a plan. Then one afternoon, two men came to the temple bearing a gift from the Lord. They told him to stand up, and soon he was leaping, shouting, I'm crippled no more, for I have been healed. I've been touched by his grace, and I felt his power, and now I am changed. There's one explanation. The God of creation has done a miracle in me. Let my story be known. Let the truth be told. I have been healed. Through town each day, she hanged her head in shame. People would look her way, everyone knew. Her doctors had given up, 12 years was long enough. They tried, but there was nothing else they could do. Then one day, when Jesus was walking through town, she touched just the edge of his robe. And he asked, who touched me? At first she was silent, then trembling, she knelt and spoke. I have been healed. I've been touched by his grace, and I felt his power, and now I am changed. There's one explanation. The God of creation has done a miracle in me. Let my story be known. Let the truth be told. I have been healed. Oh, the power still flows from the great physician. I felt it before in my life. He's transformed my heart, my body, my soul, and some have explained it away. But I know I have been healed. I've been touched by his grace, and I felt his power, and now I am changed. There's one explanation. The God of creation has done a miracle in me. Let my story be known. Let the truth be told. I have been healed. Let my story be known. Let the truth be told. I have been healed. Oh, yes, I have. I have been healed. Oh, I
Jesus.
Something about
Appreciate that good singing this morning. You know, what we don't want to do is forget why we're here. We don't want to forget who we're here to talk about. We don't want to forget who our Lord is. I don't know how you go to church and not preach the Word of God, but churches do it. Paul told Timothy, he said, to rebuke, reprove, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. All week long, I really thought that I had what God wanted me to preach about. And I've been reading on it, and I sat down yesterday at a desk, and I was trying to get it finished up, and I got that message finished up. I got all my notes and got it typed out, just like the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And he said, remember Jesus. And you know, what you have to have a church that's whole and a church that's healthy, is you have to have the whole counsel of God. You know, sometimes you do have to exhort, but sometimes you have to rebuke, and all you have to do sometimes is read the Word. Now, we've been studying some on Wednesday night, and we'll probably, Lord willing, get back into some of it tonight about how Satan attacks the seven churches. And when you read that scripture in the first, second, third chapter of Revelation, really all you have to do is read it. I had somebody call me after we had started teaching on it. He said, you know, I just sat down and read that, and he said, it was so powerful, it was so convicting. Sometimes you have to have that. But church, we don't need to forget why we're here. Amen. We're not here because of Muhammad. We're not here because we're trying to get our karma right, okay? We're here because Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. And he made a way that imperfect people could go to heaven. He gives us a purpose for life. And as I sit there and I begin to pray and seek the Lord, after the Lord just kind of spoke to me, this is what came on my heart. And sometimes I come in here on Sunday morning, and today was one of those. I had about three different messages. And I have to lay them out and pray over them, because I want to be honest with you. We want what God... Do you not want what God wants? What good does it do you to have something in your mind that you think is something you just got to have if the Holy Spirit convicts you and you know that's not God's will? Do you want what God wants or not? We must want what God wants, because God knows more than we know. And I tell you what we want to do for just a few minutes is we just want to lift up the name of Jesus. And I want to preach on this subject, Jesus is... And I'll go through some points and give you some scripture. I'm going to give you a lot of scripture. And I guess it's true. Somebody said to me, they said, well, when you preach, one thing we know we're going to get is we're going to get some scripture. Well, you're going to get scripture this morning. But here's the first thing we want to look at. Jesus is Emmanuel. Now, the word Emmanuel, it means God with us. Now, I want to go back and I want to read the starting. And you say, well, it's not Christmas. Well, we're going to read it anyway. It's in Matthew chapter number 1, verse number 18 through 23. And I want you to see the key points that are coming from this scripture that God is trying to bring to our attention. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. This is Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. It says, when as his mother Mary was espoused or betrothed or engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, that name Jesus, it actually means Savior. That's what it means. So she said, you're going to have a son, and you're going to call his name Savior. It says, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Well, that scripture, this reference that's pointed to there is in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. And here's what it says. It says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and shall bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, Emmanuel means God with us. And here's what Jesus is. Jesus is God with us. You know, here's what happened when Jesus Christ came into the world. It was God who took upon himself the likeness of sinful flesh, the likeness. Now, that doesn't mean he sinned, because the scripture specifically teaches us that he did not. But he came down to earth and he dwelt among us. And he became, the scripture says, obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And through his coming to be with us, he understands and he feels. He was all God, but yet all man. Hard for us to understand, but here's something that I want you to understand. If you don't get your theology right about Jesus, nothing else is going to be right. You see, he is God with us, and yes, as the scripture said, he was born of a virgin. And he did come, and he dwelt among men, and he walked. And after he left, he sent the Holy Spirit, which is the Comforter, which would guide us and lead us in all things. And regardless of where we are or what we are experiencing, we are assured of his wonderful, powerful, loving presence, because he is God with us. And here's what I want you to understand, and I've said this before, and I wonder when a person begins to talk to me, here's how you know you're saved. I got saved when I was 12 years old, and when God came into my heart and my life, I want you to understand something. I've never been without him. Amen. Everywhere I've ever went, I've took him. Everything I've ever done, he's been a part of it. Now, sometimes you don't want to think about it that way, but that's the way it is. Because he came and he began to live inside of me, and I was made alive, as the scripture says. I was quickened by his Holy Spirit. And I can remember times when I was just a teenage boy, and actually I was over on South Cobb Drive this week going to a funeral home over there, and I remembered as I went down Church Street, I looked up on the hill, and I remembered a game room that used to be up there. Now, some of y'all kids, y'all don't know what that's about. But we didn't have these video games. Y'all remember going in those places, they had them boxes lined up, one right after the other? And you'd get your tokens, you know, and you'd play those old games that now the kids look at and they think it's antique. But I remember going to some of those places, and there used to be one up in Lithia Springs called the Cat's Den. And I want to tell you, over a period of time, those places got rougher and rougher and rougher. And I can remember going to them, and as they got worse and worse, it wasn't just a place to go play games. It was a hangout. And it was a place where bad things happened. And the one up in Lithia Springs actually got shut down because a boy got stabbed with a butterfly knife over nothing. And I can remember being in one time over in Austell called Games People Play. Y'all might remember that one too. And I was in there, and I was walking around, and here's how I know I'm saved. The Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, would you want me to come back right now and find you in this place? Amen. And as I was standing there, I looked around, and sometimes people are like this. They say, I can't live by your convictions. Well, you can't live by mine, but if you're saved, you're going to get some. Because he's God with us. Because I've never been anywhere that God didn't go with me. I've never done anything that I didn't take my Lord and introduce him to it. Because I am never alone as a Christian. Sometimes you hear people talking about going to war or going to prison. Yes, sometimes Christians go to prison. Sometimes Christians are in foxholes. Sometimes Christians are depressed. Sometimes Christians are in difficult situations, but here's what I want you to understand about being a child of God and knowing Jesus as your personal Savior. If you know him, you're never, ever, ever alone. Amen. That's why if you have him with you, you can make it through things the world can't. Which leads to the next thing. See, he's God with us, but Jesus is also our Prince of Peace. You know, if you look at the scripture in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, it gives some more prophecies concerning Jesus, telling about him coming. And it kind of goes back to a child being born where we started reading. It says, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." Now, I don't know about you, but I'll tell you something that's one of the most important things in my life is peace. See, it doesn't matter what you've got. If you don't have peace, you ain't got much. You know, I've heard stories of people who were, you know, sometimes people think this, and I'll just have to be honest with you. I've thought a lot of times, Brother Billy, about what I'd do if I had a couple of $1 million. I think about it. I can assure you I would not be getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning. That's what I've got to do tomorrow. I've got to get up at 3 o'clock because I've got to be in Tallahassee, Florida at 10. Now, that's 2 o'clock, you know, the time I'm adjusted to, y'all know, you know. I'm just going to pretend like I'm going deer hunting because when I get up to go hunting, I get up. I wish my son would get a hold of it. You know, when he's got to go see his girlfriend, he'd get up 4 o'clock in the morning. He's up. He's ready. Amen. We try to get him up to go to school, and he can't get up. He's too tired.
Come on. Talk about it.
Now, if I had $2 million or $1 million or what's your, I don't know what your number is, but you got one, I wouldn't get up in the morning at 3 o'clock. But you know, there's a lot of people that have that $2 million, that $3 million, that whatever your number is, they've got it, but they're not satisfied.
Right.
You know why they're not satisfied? Because they don't have peace in their heart.
Amen.
That's why people, and I read one time a suicide note of a man who had left it behind. He said, "I've traveled all over the world." He said, "I've been to every place that I could possibly want to go. I've experienced everything that I could want to experience." He said, "I'm tired of getting up every day and trying to find enough things to satisfy me during the day." You know what he had? He had everything except peace with God. And he took his own life, when in reality, your life, here's what I want you to understand. A lot of people don't want to deal with this. Your life is not your own.
Amen.
You know, I had a preacher tell me one time, standing outside beside the sign at Welcome Hill Baptist Church, as he came to preach the revival, and I was talking to him. He said, "When a man accepts Christ, when a man is called to preach the gospel, his life is not his own." Do you know that your life is not your own? You were created to worship God in the image of God for the purpose of God. Until you start doing what God wants you to do, you'll never be satisfied. He is our Prince of Peace. John 14:27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Brother Keith made reference to a song. My wife showed me that song the first time on Facebook. Everybody's going through something. So we might as well go through it with Jesus.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I got my stuff. We all got our stuff. We got sickness. We got trouble. You know, I don't talk to too many people that come to me and they say, "I just want to tell you how great it is down where I work. I just want to tell you how they're paying me more than I deserve. I don't have to put in too many hours." All the people I work with, they do their part, they pull their weight. And, oh, let me tell you about my boss. It doesn't happen that way. You know what? Everybody in here is carrying a load. Everybody in here has their issues. Everybody in here, you could be one phone call away from us having you sitting right here with our hands laid on you. I tell you, sometimes when all that stuff's coming to me, I'm reminded of that scripture over there in Philippians. And God, I think, put it in the Bible for me, where he said, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." You know how you know Jesus? I had a man share this with me one time with his testimony, and I know I've said this several times at the church, but maybe somebody here didn't hear it. Got to church one Sunday morning, and there was an 18-wheeler sitting in the parking lot. I tell you, the first thing I say is, they're tearing up our parking lot. Right? That's what I thought. Oh, they're sleeping here. But why didn't they go to a truck stop? Well, about time for church to start, they got out of that truck. They come into church, and it was just a little church, a little country church, and a man stood up that got out of that truck. He said, can I lead a song? And he come up in front of the church, and he led the song, Just a Little Talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our troubles. He will answer by and by. He'll hear our faintest cry. And after he led the song, he gave his testimony. He told about how he owned a farm in Texas. There was a huge ranch, and he was cutting down a pecan tree. And he said, I don't know how it happened, but that pecan tree ended up on top of me. Now, let me tell you something. It could happen to anybody. You better be careful. He said, I'm not supposed to be walking. He told about how many bones in his back and across his hips and all that it crushed. And as he stood there and he talked to us, he said, I live in pain every day. And the doctors say, you can't walk. How do you walk? He said, I lost everything that I had. And my wife and I, we traveled the country. And he said, I make my living. He said, I survived by driving this truck. He said, but I want to tell you how I do it. He said, because the peace of God that passeth all understanding lives inside of us. And here's how you know you're a Christian. You know Jesus when the peace of God overwhelms you in the midst of your circumstance, in the midst of your trouble, and when the world looks at you and they say, I don't see how in the world you're making it through that. And you can say, look at him. When you can say, he helped me. When you can say, he intervened on my behalf. When you can say, it's not me, it's him. Jesus is our Prince of Peace. That's why we're here. See, Jesus is also the light of the world. In John chapter 8, in verse number 12, says, Jesus again spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, there's a lot of darkness around us. You know, as I went over there and I talk about going over into this part of Cobb County and riding through, I could remember when I was growing up, there really wasn't many four lanes. I remember when it was a two-lane road that went from Austell to Dallas. That was it. I remember when it was a two-lane road, Highway 5, that went all the way to Ellijay. I can remember when you went to Cumberland Mall, it was the only mall around, and you had to go down Hurt Road. You know, I was going through over there, and I was passing these churches that have been there a long time. And I was going through neighborhoods. And you know what I was thinking as I passed and I went through? I thought, there's no excuse for every one of these churches not being full. There's no excuse for churches having to close because people don't come anymore. There's no excuse for the neighborhoods to be so run down. Sometimes I see pictures, I don't care whether it's a missionary or the one that's over there, and I see trash and I see graffiti. I think, why don't the men clean it up? Why don't they paint over the graffiti and pick up the garbage and plant a garden? I want to tell you why. Because people are overwhelmed with darkness. You see, we're living in a time that's getting closer, I believe, to this. As my dad used to preach, the Saturday afternoon of time. And people have forgotten about the fact that we exist and we're blessed because of Jesus. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Do you understand that every neighborhood that has trouble could be cleaned up? You know, we were here Wednesday night. And we walked out in the parking lot. There was a new car sitting out there. And a lady showed me the back of it. The tail light was knocked out. had a big dent in the hood where a rock was thrown over the car and crashed into it. And she told me that that night before, there were 66 cars in four subdivisions in Paulding County. And then maybe somebody else in here was affected by it. By about three teenage boys that went around and they were tearing everything up. You know why we got trouble in America today? It's because we've forgotten about God. It's because we've forgotten about Jesus. He's the light of the world. But when you walk in darkness and you reject light, guess what you have? You have darkness. That's why when we tell our kids over and over that they come from animals, are we surprised when they act like animals? That's what we're getting. Brother Allen and I were talking out in the foyer earlier. And we were talking about the T-shirt. Y'all know the song that Wilburn and Wilburn sing? On the front it says, "Don't blame God." You turn around. Said you asked him to leave. We surprised we got the trouble we got in our schools. We can't pray in Jesus' name. Can I tell you, he's not a God, he is the God. The Bible says there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved other than the name of Jesus. Scripture says there's one God and one mediator between God and men. And it says the man, Christ Jesus. See, he is the light of the world. And he assures us in his word, and I believe this, that if we faithfully walk with him, we will not remain in darkness. You see, the Lord will do something for us. He will illuminate our paths, and he'll send us the answers we need. Sometimes the reason we don't have the answers we need is because God has given us light, and we refuse to walk in the light that we already have. That's why, and I know a lot of people use a lot of different things when they preach. I want to tell you what I've learned. There's so much in this right here. You know, I've told the story before about going to the Christian bookstore. When I go in there, I spend money. I do. You know, I go in, oh, that's a good looking. Oh, look at that book. Look at that title. Now, I do read stuff when I can, when I have time. I got a lot of that. But, you know, I went to the Christian bookstore and I spent $75 last time I was there. I come out with a bag full of books, and I read about 10 pages in this one, 10 pages in that one. And all of a sudden, the Lord spoke to me, and he began to reveal something to me. You know, people are always looking for new light, but they won't walk in the light that they already have. If we'd take the word of God that we have, that God has showed us, and apply it to our hearts and lives, and just walk in what we already know, it would be overwhelming to us because we would have a hard time fulfilling it. Now, folks, there's nothing wrong with reading. You ought to study. You ought to know God's word especially. But you know what? We can keep looking for new light. And aren't we in America? Aren't we looking for a way to solve our problems? But we've forgotten the light of the world. See, Jesus, he is our light. Jesus is also our great high priest. You know, before Jesus came, they would go once a year. They would offer sacrifice. But when Jesus was on the cross, when he died, the scripture says that the veil of the temple, it was ripped from the top to the bottom. And the veil of the temple was made of multiple thick layers of purple, and it was heavy. And when it tore, I would just like to have heard it tear. Because what happened is now we don't have to go to the priest. Sometimes people think it, well, if I confess, it makes me feel better. It will if you repent when you confess. But repent means to turn. Jesus is our high priest. And here's what I want you to understand. I talk to him. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 14, it says this. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, who? Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast or hold firmly to our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Remember what we said? He was God with us. He came down. He says he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet he was without sin. And then it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may be able to obtain mercy. And listen to this word, find grace to help in time of need. Well, what's grace? Folks, that's when you don't get what you deserve. That's when God looks at you and he pities you. It's kind of like this. You ever told your kids, I'm going to whoop you? Or some of you say, I'm going to give you a spanking. Some of you say, I'm going to beat you. But y'all understand the right way. But how many times do we do it? I tell you what God's done for us. Had one of our teenagers come up to me this morning, said she was memorizing Psalms 103, and I'll be glad when she's ready to recite it to you, because that's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Here's one of my favorite verses in that chapter. It says, as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. You love your kids? Yes, you do. Even people that don't know Jesus, we're not going to say they don't love their kids. Sure they do. We'd die for our children, wouldn't we? But how many times, because we love them and because we're merciful, that arm is just extended, that mercy is extended, that mercy is extended. Here's what grace is. Because Jesus walked on this earth and he saw and he felt the pain when they drove the stakes through his hands and through his feet. And he felt it when they put the stripes on his back and when they pushed the crown of thorns down on his head. He's the high priest that you can go to. And when you go to him, you know what he's going to do? I like what David said. David said, he is the lifter up of my head. That means when you go to him and you're bowed down, that's why we want to use these altars. It's when you come to him broken, you come to him guilty, you come to him in shame. I tell you what he does. I don't care what it is. He is the lifter up of our head. He reaches down and he gives us help, grace, mercy. He is our high priest. A high priest that understands. He makes intercession for us to the Father. He understands our frailties and our needs, and he stands in the gap for us. Seated at the right hand of the Father. It's almost like when Satan comes before the throne of God and he makes accusation, as he did in the book of Job. Here's what Jesus said. Can't have that one. That's one of mine. Can't have that one. That one's under the blood. Can't have that one. I died for him. So that when God the Father looks at us, he turns, and as he looks at us, you know what he has to do? He has to see us through the veil of Jesus Christ. So he doesn't see me as I am, but he sees me through the veil of Jesus. He is our high priest. He is also King of kings and Lord of lords. I want to read a couple of verses to you in Revelation chapter 19. And I want to read these. We need to read this from time to time. It's in the 11th verse. It talks about how he is Lord of lords. It says, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of kings and Lord of lords. You know, we need to remember that, yes, he's God, he's Savior, he's merciful, he's loving, he's Heavenly Father. And he is Abba Father. It's like Daddy. When you go to him and he just wraps his arms around you. But folks, don't ever disrespect him by not lifting him up as King of kings and Lord of lords. You see, in our lives, the truth is, he is either Lord of all or he is not Lord at all. And if we want him, you know, to be really have his place in our lives, he has to be Lord of all. And we must give him his proper place. And we cannot put anything before him. Nothing. When I begin to make a priority list of the things in my life, God has to be first. My family is under that. But I don't think I could love my family the right way if I didn't have God where he should be. You know, there are things that I enjoy and things that I do, but they're not before the Lord. And yes, I know I have to work and make a living, but it's not before the Lord. God has to be first. You see, as King, Jesus is the sovereign ruler over all that exists. There's no one or no thing that is above him. There's no other God, and any other God, folks, is little g. When you read your Bible, notice that. Little g, big G. One God. He has no peer, he has no equal, and there is one way to heaven, one, and that's through Jesus Christ. Last thing I want to share with you is Jesus is, he is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. See, in John chapter number 1, when John the Baptist was baptizing, and he was there, and he was the forerunner of Christ. He had already been close to Jesus, because when Mary came to Elizabeth, and she said, "I'm with child of the Holy Ghost." Remember the story? John the Baptist leaped in the womb. John was baptized and preaching, "Repent and prepare the way of the Lord." And as he's baptized and he looks up, and here comes Jesus. And here's something I want you to understand. When you see him, you're going to know who he is. We read in Revelation chapter, over there, chapter number 19. Folks, when he comes back again, he's not coming as a babe in a manger. He's going to be Lord. He's going to be King. He's going to have eyes as a flame of fire. And out of his mouth, when he speaks, is going to be like roaring waters. We're going to know him, whether we know him personally or not. John says the next day he sees Jesus coming, and he looks up and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." You see, Jesus is the Lamb of God. He's our deliverer. He's our Savior. He's our Redeemer. He reconciles us to the Father, and he breaks the hold that sin and death have over us. He is the only one who can redeem us from our sin. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, folks, Jesus is God with us. Jesus is our Prince of Peace. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is our great high priest. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Jesus is the Lamb of God. We're going to give an invitation, but I want to ask a question. What is Jesus to you? Now, you can be saved and still not have him as Lord of your life. You can be saved and still not have him as your Prince of Peace. You see, is he God with you? Everywhere you go, have you given thought to the fact that you're taking God there? Is he your Prince of Peace? When you're troubled, do you go to him and say, "Lord, help me"? Is he the light of your world? Now, folks, here's what I want us to understand. Regardless of what happens out in this world, we can serve God. Your family can serve God. Your home can be a Christian home. Like Joshua, he said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Is he your high priest? Do you go to him when you're hurting? You know, I got a son that's driving Matthew, and I want to be a good dad. Here's what I tell him. I say, "Son, when you're driving, I said, if anything at all happens, anything, if you ever make a mistake, if you're ever in trouble, if you're ever somewhere and you do something you shouldn't do and you know you shouldn't do it, I don't care what it is, you call me. I'll come." I said, "Here's what I want you to understand more than anything else is that I love you. And even regardless of whose fault it is, anybody's fault, call me, I'll come." I want you to understand this morning, Jesus says, call me. I'll come. He said, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Is he your high priest? Is he your king? Is he your lamb? Here's the question. Is he your lamb who died in your place to take away your sins? Do you know Jesus? If you don't, I want to invite you to come as we stand. You come pray for any reason that's on your heart. Whatever it is God spoke to you about. But here's what I want you to understand. Jesus wants to be impactful in your life. If you don't know him as your personal Savior, if you'd like to come, we'd love to lead you in a prayer to help you, pray with you any way that we can. As they play, would you please come?
Victory. We know there is more.